Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me is my trail partner and co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary.
Well, we have a great show lined up today, a lot of things that we're going to be talking about, and we've got some special guests joining us. And who do we have today?
Well, first of all, we have Robert Eversall, the Trailmeister, talking about fall riding and hunting season safety. Then we travel to Black, Missouri, and talk with Joanne Becker, owner of Brushy Creek Lodge and Resort and the Valley Springs Youth Ranch.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun talking with these guys. And, of course, Robert is a regular now. He's part of the family, and so we look forward to talking with him. And we have, you know, there are a lot of things we're going to talk about. We'll talk a little bit about a trail ride you just got back from in Michigan, the Lope for Hope ride. So that will be coming up in the first segment of the show. And then we have some real exciting news we want to share with folks. Last week, we introduced Equestrian Legacy Radio's new mobile app. And so that has been very well received. We have people listening in about three countries using the new mobile app right now. So we're across the pond with our new technology, so people can listen to the show right from the app. And then you can download that from our website, equestrianlegacy.net. And then we're really excited about a new feature on our website, the Christmas Shop. And that will be opening in November. So if you love horse stuff and you have people that love horse stuff you'd like to give a gift for, you can be able to shop in the Christmas Shop on our website. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So that will be open up through November and December. So we'll make shopping easier for you. You can do it online. Just drop in the Christmas Shop beginning November 1st and visit with all of the great businesses that are there. So a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things that are happening with Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we want to invite you now to grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and when we come back, we'll be talking with the Trailmeister, the one and only Robert Eversall.
Yonder where the prairie winds blow, from the Rio Grande up to old Idaho, there's a sound comes swinging from over the plain. It's the cowboys a-singing the songs of the range. I want to be there when they ride into town. Can't get enough of that great western sound. It's the best of the west. Come along with me to the cowboy jubilee.
Let the fiddle play your bow and sweet melody.
Hear the cowboys answer with their ho-y-lo-tee.
That bunkhouse bass never loses the beat.
The cowboys start to clapping and they kick up their feet. I pick a prairie flower and I ask her to dance. Once around the floor and it must be romance. The prairie moon is shining for her and for me at the cowboy jubilee. There when they ride into town. Can't get enough of that great western sound. It's the best of the west, I'm sure you'll agree. At the cowboy jubilee. At the cowboy jubilee.
Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And Robert Eversall, welcome to the show today.
Hi-ho, howdy. I was really tapping my foot along with the song there.
That's just a fun song from the Riders in the Sky, and so that just felt like a good song to start the show with today. Fall is in the air. We're going to be talking about fall trail riding and hunting season safety because a lot of that starts in the fall as well. And, Robert, what's it look like out in Washington State right now?
It's cloudy. There's rain in the air. It's You know, it's been dry as can be, and, you know, those azure blue skies and just glorious. But now getting into fall, we're starting to get some clouds come along, and we had a sprinkle the other day. I don't know if the drops managed to touch each other on the ground, but we had a sprinkle. So hopefully that'll keep coming, although I hope it's not as severe as what you guys on the East Coast have gotten. Heard some nasty storms have rolled through your neck of the woods there.
Yeah, we had a lot of rain out here. I think some areas in the mid-state got between 2 and 3 inches of rain yesterday in a pretty short period of time. But we have a touch of fall color starting. And how about the color out in Washington?
Well, color in Washington, gee golly, Gary, it's green. This is the Emerald State. You know, we've got all the conifers. I learned the hard way not to call them pines, because there's so many different species. But you know, you have some understory color, and if you get up in the high country, some of the huckleberries and the blueberry bushes just turn a crimson red that really reminds me of the sugar maples back east. It's glorious. But for the most part, it's green. So I should not complain too much.
Well, I understand. You know, do you miss the color back in the east? You know, with all of our hardwoods, we have a glorious fall.
I do miss it. I do miss the vibrant colors. But you know, I don't miss the humidity. So kind of take one, leave one.
Well, I guess so. Of course, out in Colorado, they've got the aspen that are just gloriously gold and beautiful colors all across the country right now. Tina May, what's your favorite time of the year to ride? Is that the fall?
Yeah, I'd have to say fall. And I do love spring as well, you know, with everything budding and dogwoods and things like that. But fall can just be breathtakingly beautiful with all the different colors in the trees and things like that and the hilltops and it's just absolutely beautiful, but I love it all year round.
Well,
it's like
I do
riding
too.
In a new place each time you go, each time through the seasons.
Yeah, we'll have to take a poll and see whether people have a favorite time of the year, whether it might be the spring or the fall, but and maybe we'll do that this next week. But, you know, with fall comes some issues, and we were talking earlier, Robert, about the differences between riding in the east and the west at this time of the year, and Tina May experienced on a ride she did in Michigan this week some pretty significant temperature changes from Missouri to Michigan. Let's talk a little bit about preparation for fall riding and some hunter safety considerations that we might need to take in place.
I think we can do that. It's always a good thing, especially this time of the year. And, you know, with the changing colors comes the changing weather and the like. And so, Tina May, what was the temperature variance that you found on your trip? I heard that you had some ice in the forecast.
Oh, yes. I mean, it was like 30-plus drop in temperature. And, you know, I'm not a blanket person for my horses, but I am very thankful that I threw the blankets in my trailer because that was just too much. Didn't give the horses time to acclimate to the weather. And we went to bed with ice and we woke up with ice. And so I was really glad to have some blankets for my horses.
There you go. I mean, and really, I think any place, you know, this time of the year. We've had frost here in the Spokane area, and I think I saw on the news or the weather the other week that there was snow already in parts of Colorado and certainly up high. You know, it's just that changing seasons kind of time, and certainly it pays to be prepared for any contingencies, I think.
Well, it really does, and of course in Colorado, a couple of weeks ago, I think they had some of their first snow out there. So it really depends on what part of the country or the world, because we do have a worldwide listening audience, what part of the world you're riding in as to what the temperatures are and how you need to prepare for those things. But, of course, Tina May kind of was prepared. She took her husband with her and was ready for those unexpected things that happened, like a loss of heat in the trailer. Harry so you kind of need to be ready with those things. But, Robert, what would you suggest for folks that are riding in different climates, and maybe particularly in the western states where you might be riding in different elevations and experiencing more drastic temperature changes?
Well, you know, the big thing for me is be prepared for the worst, you know. So be prepared for snow and for cold or rain. And, you know, I don't generally – I think the only way for me to guarantee that it's going to rain is to leave without my slicker tied to the back of my saddle.
Yeah.
So that always stays on there, you know, even when I'm riding in the high desert. And, you know, and keep a good eye on the forecast, you know, before you head out. What do I have to look forward to? The weather can change terribly quickly any place, and it seems even more so the higher you go. Here in my neck of the woods, you know, we've already had snow up in the high country. You know, I've seen snow already this year at around 6,000 feet. It didn't stick. But, you know, that could be an awfully cold day if you're not ready for it. So keep an eye on that weather channel and make sure that you're ready for the very worst. It could make the difference between a really uncomfortable night and a really uncomfortable night.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then, of course, I have to admit, you know, sometimes we all screw up, and my better half and I, we went out, oh heavens, I guess 2 weeks ago perhaps, into the high deserts, a BLM area called Fish Trap Lake in Washington's high desert area, and I neglected one of the five B's, I call them, you know, and that was the be knowledgeable part, because I didn't even think about pheasant season. You know, usually when I think about fall and hunting seasons, I think about, you know, the big animals, you know, elk and deer and the like.
Right.
Well, it never occurred to me that people hunt pheasant in the desert. And they do. And when we left the trailhead, we were the only truck and trailer there. But by golly, when we got back, it was packed for the first day of youth pheasant season.
Wow.
And there were more shotguns going off than you could shake a stick at. It could have been quite interesting. But, you know, fortunately, we already had the bright orange, you know, stuff on the horses. So there wasn't a bad encounter, but it could have been, it was certainly interesting. How about we leave it at that?
All right. All right.
Because I wasn't paying attention, you know, I didn't think about, you know, the other game seasons, and it could have been a bad thing. So be knowledgeable, I guess, about where you're going and what different things are on the hunter's list, I guess. You know, here in the western states, I kind of think a lot of times if you're going to go out, if you're not going to go out, I guess, during a hunting season, you never ride because there's always something, you know, in season. You know, I found out about pheasant, but I think the high hunt for elk, I think that starts, you know, late August, I think. You know, turkey season is in the spring, stuff like that. So just kind of be aware of what's going on. And then, you know, certainly, you know, getting our animals prepared. So what do you guys do to get your animals prepared for the sights and sounds of hunting season?
Well we're packing. We shoot and we practice shoot around our horses pretty regularly. So, I think that's always good to have them prepared for that, especially, you know, when you carry while you ride. So it's something you got to do gradually, and to get your horses used to that, and you want to start that in a controlled area as well.
So Tina May, you're saying that the old saw, can you shoot off that horse? Yeah, once. You're saying that's correct?
Exactly. You have to be able to hang on, get some Velcro on there.
Exactly. I was doing a speaking engagement. I guess it was week before last, and with the Backcountry Horsemen here out of Spokane at a place called Riverside State Park, and they had, I don't if listeners have heard of it, called Cowboy Mounted Shooting Competitions.
Right.
Have you guys heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was the niftiest gosh darn thing. These riders go on heck for leather with big guns, shooting balloons and the like. I saw that and watched it and thought, well, these guys are a heck of a lot better riders than I, and their animals are certainly more well conditioned. But I thought, what a great way to get your animals, you know, ready for hunting season. What a, you know, because they have to go through some pretty intensive desensitizing, I would imagine.
Well, they do.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got we've done some shows with some folks that do the cowboy mounted shooting. A good friend of mine from college days is really active in that, and he told me that the horses are not bothered as much by the guns as they are the balloons. And he said it really, yeah, and he said it's really the static electricity that the balloons give off. But now one thing that you don't want to do is to be shooting between your horse's ears. So, you know, if you'll notice these guys when they're riding, they're not shooting from the horse's head. They're kind of going by the balloon and shooting from
gotcha.
The side. Yeah, one of the things that we have back here in the East, and Tina May, you have that, may have it in Missouri as well, but a lot of the trails here will be closed off on the weekend, which is prime time for trail riders, but they'll close the trails, some of the trails for the hunting season on the weekends. And then there are other trails that are just closed off, period, through the hunting season. But there are some areas I know up in the Big South Fork that you may ride where there is no hunting, but you may ride through parts that kind of intersect with state versus the national parks where the rules are a little bit different. So you may ride through an area.
It all goes to, you know, knowing where you're going to be and checking with the land managers and seeing what's allowed there, because they're all different. You know, whether hunting is allowed, not allowed, riding restricted by various areas. You just, you know, people say, well, I'm just going on a trail ride. Well, that just a trail ride could get awful interesting if you don't take that couple steps beforehand.
Yeah.
Right.
I wanna,
it's always good anytime it's the hunting type season, which is fall weather and everything else like that, is to have, you know, be brightly colored. But something else I think needs to be mentioned is not only for your own safety to be brightly colored, but, you know, those hunters have a season, and they wait all year for that season to go out there and hunt. And we trail riders, we also need to be considerate of the hunters as well. And a lot of times what I'll try to do is I will try to ride in an area that's not hunting, you know, or, you know, sometimes in the fall I'll even do some gravel road riding that's not so bad, you know, when it's cooler out. But I do think we need to take precautions, but we also need to be considerate, too, for the hunters.
Tina, I think you're 100% on. I mean, the hunters, they've got a lot shorter season than we do riding, and they wait all year. And
right.
And it's just common courtesy, I think, just to be considerate about them. You know, I think most hunters, like most riders, are very considerate, and we should certainly return the favor. So excellent point. And I love the point about the bright clothing. You know, anything to not look like the prey animal, you know, is a good thing. You know, my wife and I, we have from our mounted search and rescue days, we have bright fluorescent, that lime orange, lime green, lime orange, yellow. You can tell I'm colorblind, can't you?
Yeah.
We have those vests that really stand out and are reflective, just to, you know, make us a little bit more visible. Another thing we actually do is I generally do bear bells anyway, but I'll throw a couple extra barbells on just to make a little bit of noise. I'd hate to, you know, come through some dense brush or around a bend and, you know, have somebody, you know, thinking there's a deer coming around that bend. So some bears, or I'm sorry, some barbells, I think probably have their place as well. You know, within limits. I think it goes back to that that common courtesy thing that Tina was saying. You know, we need to be considerate, so, you know, being too noisy could be pretty bad as well.
Well, that's true.
Well, and you
that's
know, they
true.
Have that brightly colored vet wrap. And I know I have done this in the past. Like, I'll take that bright hunter orange vet wrap, and I've wrapped my horse's tail with it. And then I've actually, I don't use my good bridle, but I'll get an older bridle or even a halter or whatever, and I will wrap that bridle, that head stall, and my reins with that bright fluorescent orange vet wrap. And the reason why I like using an older one is because it's kind of sticky when you take it off, so I kind of leave it on there. So I've got my hunting season tack, and then I like to also put it on the back side of the horse, especially if you have a horse with a white tail, because, you know, they look for those white flags for those deer. And I like to wrap it with that vet wrap and get that fluorescent orange and wear the jacket. You cannot have too much orange.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we want to take a quick break right now. We're going to come back and give something away. And when we come back, let's pick up where we left off on this, but also let's talk about equipment a little bit. And that is a topic that I think would be important as we go into this cooler season as well. So you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And we're going to listen to a song from Dave Stamey, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Montana morning, where the far hills show traces of snow. The day coming dawning, like rim rock, where junipers grow. Ah, this country is a friend of mine. Its voice is the voice that I hear. And when time leaves me behind, I won't mind if it leaves me right here. Sweetgrass County line, down where the Everstone flows, sunlit waters shine. Old railroad bridge, cottonwoods grow. Ah, this country, how it takes you in to a sky so open and clear. And when time comes to an end, I won't mind if it ended right here. Thunderstorm afternoon rain, just like a summer dream. Once you've seen it, you're never the same. Ah, this country, how it calls to me, its voice, how it rings in my ear. And when the light finally falls on me, it's all right. And it falls on me here. Ah, this country is a friend of mine. Its voice is the voice that I hear. And when time leaves me behind, I won't mind if it leaves me right here.
That's Sweetgrass County Line by Dave Stamey, and we want to talk a little bit about our Legacy Club. Legacy Club is a free membership to our listeners and friends, and it entitles all of our Legacy Club members to great discounts and special offers from our sponsors. But each month and at the end of the year, we've been giving away a great gift from our select and premier sponsor. But we have recently started giving away a weekly gift. So if you're not a member of the Legacy Club, let me encourage you to visit EquestrianLegacy.net. Enroll there. It's free, great discounts, great special offers. And this week, we have a great gift to give away. And Tina May, tell us about that.
Yes, we have a Loaf for Hope hoodie, and I absolutely love these hoodies. They're Loaf for Hope. They're well made, and I absolutely love them.
All right, and we had a drawing earlier before the show started, and who is our winner for this week's drawing?
Our Legacy Club member winner for this week is Karen Pickering of Washington State. Congratulations, Karen.
All right, so we'll be reaching out to Karen after the program and get her information so we can send her that hoodie from Lope for Hope. And it's a good time to get a hoodie because fall's here and those things are going to be just really cozy to layer up with. So from our Legacy Club sponsor, Lope for Hope, Karen Pickering is our winner in Washington State. That's kind of close to you, Robert, and I think you know Karen.
It is, and I do know Karen. I was going to ask if those hoodies were waterproof, because Karen, she's on the wet side of the mountains.
Well, she'll have to just layer up, I guess. But anyway, congratulations.
Go.
Congratulations to Karen on that. And during the break, we were talking about equipment failure, and then Robert was talking about Tina May's husband, so I don't know what that had to do with anything. But
Tina, I guess that goes to you.
let's talk about what happened to you up at the trail ride this past weekend and how people need to prepare and be ready for those things as the days are changing and the nights are getting cooler.
Oh, yes. You know, I've got a living quarters trailer that I had taken up there. And it's got a nice, nice, cozy heater, and the heater does run on propane. However, it does not work when the battery goes dead. So we ended up losing our heat. And now what we did actually up there is we just moved our trailer and we plugged it in, and so we was able to have heat. But I did want to share with some of our listeners, because I also still camped with my stock trailer that doesn't have all the nice living quarter things that my Sooner trailer does. And what I have done in the past in the cold is there's a couple things. You know, in the beginning I've got cast iron skillets and Dutch ovens, and I used to put rocks in the fire, and I would take that Dutch oven and I would put the rocks inside the Dutch oven, and then I would take a cast iron skillet, turn it upside down in my dressing room, and I would set that Dutch oven on top of that skillet so it wouldn't burn the floor. And that would take the nip out of the air, you know, for when you went to bed. However, the downside of that is it could cause condensation, and it's cold by morning when you have to get up and feed them horses first thing in the morning. But since then I had discovered, and actually it was a lady up from Canada that actually gave me this tip. I can't take the original credit for this. And it's one of those old-fashioned hot water bottles. And what you do is you just put boiling water in that hot water bottle and you throw it under the covers, and that keeps you toasty all the way till morning. It will still be warm in the morning, and then you can stick it in your clothes so that your clothes aren't so cold. So for those that do not have a living quarters or that like to rough it, those are some ideas to keep you warm at night on those cold nights.
Well, I guess for us single folks.
Excellent idea.
I guess for us single folks, that's something we might consider just, you know, all the time.
Oh, heavens. Yeah,
but anyway.
I'm sorry, Gary.
No, I was going to say, besides the fact, you know, folks that are out with their trailers that are camping, Robert, what about things that people need to have with them on the trail at this time of the year, heaven forbid, something happen?
Well, kind of glad you brought that up. I don't have a living quarters trailer, so I guess I'm always roughing it, but I don't like to rough it, so how does that work? Anytime that that we go out, I always try to be prepared to spend an unexpected night out of doors. That has, you know, kept me out of trouble, you know, more than once. Whether you get I hate to say lost, but mistaken on the trail. You go down, drop down a wrong ravine, have you, or take a wrong turn, or you have an equipment failure, what have you. I like to be prepared and have everything to spend a night outdoors. So even riding, you know, just a local, you know, a local park, yeah, you won't often find me without, say, you know, those tiny little Mylar blankets that pack up into maybe the size of, you know, a cigarette pack. They will keep you warm. You won't be comfortable, but you'll be alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just the cell phone. You know, most places that we ride, especially this time of the year, are going to wind up being closer in for the most part. So do you have your cell phone? Is it on you? You know, it does. Do you have battery in it? You know, it, and you know, that kind of stuff. That's what I always try to have on me, especially this time of the year, if not, you know, every ride. I'm a big believer that a front country ride can turn into a back country adventure in just a heartbeat.
Right. You know, when you were talking about taking the cell phones, I think I read something or saw something the other day where there is now a solar attachment for your phone.
And, oh, gee golly, Gary, there are so many cool things.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe one thing we may want to start doing, we might want to do a little product review on some neat things for folks that are riding and items that they might want to make sure that they have out with them. So,
yeah,
something
that would
be great. Something we might want to add to the show. You know, we've gone through this half hour just quickly, and so we now know that we can be prepared in the fall to either take our spouse, a hot water bottle, check our batteries, take our bells, have our fluorescent colors on there. Did we cover most of that? Find out where what the conditions are like?
I think we did. Be knowledgeable, be prepared, be bright colors. Be a little bit noisy with our bells, you know. Be friendly to the hunters and the rest of the folks that we meet. I think we covered it. These half hours always go so quickly, but I'm really looking forward to listening to Joanne and hearing more about Brushy Creek.
Well, hang on. We may just bring you on sometime during that segment with Joanne. So hang with us, and we're looking forward to talking with Joanne Becker from Brushy Creek Lodge and Resort in Black, Missouri when we come back. And so we'll just plan on not losing anybody, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
Thank you.
Canyon, and one of our good friends from Missouri, a super sweet lady, is Joanne Becker with Brushy Creek Lodge and Resort in Black, Missouri. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Gary. Thank you.
Well, we're glad have you. We got Tina May.
Tina May, how are you?
Hi. Robert, your mic is open. You can say hi. Robert may be. Robert, you there? Well, he may have taken a break. Just a minute. His line is still there. But, Joanne, we want... Yeah, now
well, there
we can hear
he
you.
Is.
Okay. Ah, sorry. I had put it on mute, and I was just listening in.
Oh.
Well,
hi, Robert.
I do apologize. Joanne, it's a pleasure to talk with you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, too.
Well, I just want you to be prepared, Joanne, because these guys are all wild and crazy if you listen to the first part of the show. And... So we're going to have a lot of fun visiting with you today, but we want to talk about, to start the show and the segment with you, something that I think folks will be interested in and a bit surprised. And the way that Brushy Creek Lodge and Resort was started actually came about because of Valley Springs Youth Ranch. Can you share just a little bit about that for us?
Well, what part? How it became or from the youth ranch?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the youth ranch and what it does, and then let's talk about how Brushy Creek started from that.
Okay. Valley Springs Youth Ranch is a residential treatment facility for youth. It's boys and girls. We're licensed from age 6 to 21. We're licensed for 86 beds. And my husband is actually from Minnesota. He had a group home there, and he moved down in 1983. And brought 6 of the kids with him that did not have family in Minnesota. So he ran it as a campground and realized that that wasn't what he wanted to do. So in 1985, he did what he had to do to get his license to have a residential treatment. Started out with just like a group home type of thing.
Right.
And turned into a residential treatment. So we get kids from mostly from the state of Missouri. We do have a contract with the Missouri, and we have taken some private referrals also. And started from scratch. There was used to be called Valley Springs Campground, and actually a lot of horse people used to go there years ago. And started with an old. It was actually a store that. And they had three different little houses on it. And from there, he originally put 12 kids in a little house, and the kids slept upstairs, and it was just a little kitchen and, a couple bedrooms downstairs. And from there, we built, an 86-bed facility. And started with just boys, and then I came along in 1987 and actually wanted to ask George about opening up a girls program. So I had a girls program in my own house. That was before George and I were actually married. So anyway, we just kind of grew from there. And actually the love for the horses is kind of what brought us together and, in the first place. So
right.
Of course, with George having the campground, and I had a previous campground before that, the horseback was always one of the biggest parts of the program at the youth ranch. When the kids originally came, they got to have their own horse. They had to learn how to ride bareback, that type of thing. And as we grew, we started into realizing that we had family seminars, and we held them at the youth ranch where the kids of the children that we had at the ranch, their parents would come, or a family member or a foster family or a relative would come for counseling and therapy for the weekend. And as the ranch got bigger, it was hard to house other families that came, because they would bring their other siblings too. So when we built the lodge, it was actually because we had already started the Valley Springs Foxtrotters, which is where we, we breed and raise and train our own Missouri Foxtrotters. And then we also didn't have a place for the people to stay because we're kind of in the middle of nowhere. And so with having the youth ranch and having the family seminars and then having Valley Springs Foxtrotters and not having a place for people to eat that was close by or, a place for them to stay, that's how we developed Brushy Creek Lodge and Resort.
Well, it's real interesting because you were on the show, you were on the Campfire Cafe a couple of months ago, and
yeah.
It was interesting to me that Valley Springs Youth Ranch went into the Valley Springs Foxtrotters, which was to be a little stress relief for you, and then you ended up with 400 horses, which was not so stress-free. And then into Brushy Creek. And I know Tina May has been and visited your facility. I have not been up there yet, but I look forward to doing that. So, Tina May, I know you've got some questions about Brushy Creek that you want to talk with Joanne about.
Oh, absolutely. And before I even get there, what I thought was really unique and everything is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joanne, but you also take these youth that you help, and you give them jobs too, don't you?
We do. We work on a level system at the youth ranch, but the nice thing is once they reach a level, they can work at the restaurant at Brushy Creek, which they can either learn to be servers, waitresses, or waiters, dishwashers. We've also, in the past, have had a couple of cooks that actually have gone on to either a cooking school or have become a cook. We have one in particular that's actually a cook in a real nice restaurant right now in St. Louis. So, it gives them incentive. It gives them a chance to get off the ranch and to make, to make some money. And then we also can give them jobs at the barn also where, they can either clean stalls. We've actually had two that have gone on, worked with our shoer at one time or another, and have gone on to being a horseshoer. And so that kind of, that is great because it gives the kids an incentive, and also it definitely makes them feel better about themselves.
Oh, absolutely, and it's a hands-on, and it gives them, a foot in, for the employment
right.
world. So I think that's
right.
really wonderful. I really like that about that.
Yeah, and then we also have an auto shop. I forgot to mention that, and it also has, some kids have been able to go and work in the auto shop to where they can, learn some mechanicking, which is something that everybody needs down the road.
Well,
yes.
do they know how to change batteries? Because I know Tina May is real interested in finding out if people know how to change batteries.
And how far
yep.
does it get?
Yes, they do.
what was that, Robert? Robert, what did you
and
say?
How cold does it get there?
Yeah, how cold does it get there? She needs to know whether she needs to bring Tim with her or not. One of the things that we want to point out, here at the beginning is tell us where you're located.
We're yes. located in Black, Missouri, which is about 100 miles south-southwest of St. Louis. We live in the Mark Twain National Forest. It's all around us. It's beautiful, beautiful riding, and but it is, in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's why people come. What?
That's why
people
come.
You have a restaurant and you've got the lodge there, which brings me to tell us about the facilities and the places that you have there, the barns and the sites.
Well, we have a lodge And it's actually it's a restaurant where we serve our guests, whether we don't serve lunch or we do serve breakfast and dinner. We also have the room called the John Wayne Room, which is a big open room that has, you know, a TV, a couple different places to play games, checkers, read a book. We have a ping pong table and a pool table. Just it's open 24 hours for our guests to just hang out if it's raining or, you know, they want to get together. We have some groups that have been coming down for ever since we've been open, and a lot of times they might have, you know, like a little get-together or so, and they're able to use that room, you know, for that, for a potluck or something. We have 40 water and electric campsites. We do have some real nice primitive sites also. We have 4 cabins, and we have a barn right below the cabins to where you can, you know, put your horse in a stall. And we're spread out. We have 40 sites, but there's no more than, you know, 12 or 15 in one area. We kind of like to have people spread out so you're not, you know, on top of each other. But we have lots and lots of trails. We have lots of hiking trails, the Ozark Trail, which actually starts in St. Louis and is going to go all the way through Arkansas. It goes right through our property. And then we have a outfitter's license with the Mark Twain National Forest, so we were able to put in lots of other trails. We have a farm about 8 miles from here by road that we have a trail that goes over to it. So, you know, it's about a five and a half hour ride. So we've got a lot of different areas to ride in, a lot of trails. A lot of people just think the Ozark Trail is here, but we have a lot of we have a good trail system, and there's a lot of places to ride. And we've also people have wanted to go a little bit farther, and so we've also have, you know, trailered people over to a certain designated area, and then that they can just, you know, come on and come back to the lodge.
Right. And you have an obstacle course there as well that everybody loves to go on and play with their horses.
Yes, we sure do. And it's, you know, it started out just to be kind of a fun thing and a training tool for our foxtrotters, but it seems like we have lots of people that love to do that down at Brushy Creek. And really, it gives them something else to do rather than just ride on the trail. If they want to start working on different obstacles, we want to add some more next year. And we have a lot of we have a little competitions, you know, with the obstacle course, which people do love. And we also do supply the firewood at no charge, and we also supply the sawdust.
Awesome.
I've seen on our website, if folks will go and visit the Legacy Club Select Sponsors, you are one. And we have a really cool video, I think was a little clip from when Best of America by Horseback was there. And if I'm not mistaken, I may have seen you riding a gray horse cutting some cattle, too.
Yes, you did. And I have to tell you, Gary, I just watched that video that you had on just not too long ago, and you did a really nice job on that.
Well, thank you very much.
You really did. I couldn't believe it.
Gosh, well, you actually you're our featured campground this month, and so we've got a cool video there of Brushy Creek Lodge. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think I saw Tina May's face in one of those little clips too.
You probably did.
Yeah,
you
I go down
did.
There.
Robert, you and I are going to have to plan a trip and meet up at Brushy Creek.
I think we're going to have to. So, Joanne, what's the best time to visit? I mean, we're getting into color season now. What's the color forecast for Brushy Creek?
Well, right now it is just starting to change, and it's beautiful right now. It's not in full bloom yet. There's still quite a bit of green on all the trees, which we've had some cool weather lately. We figured it would be a little bit sooner than it is right now. But normally October is the prettiest month, and it's usually our busiest month, just because of the colors changing, the cooler nights, a little bit cooler days. Beautiful riding, beautiful riding. We just had our fall trail ride last weekend, and we had just had beautiful weather. It was just, it was perfect. But spring is pretty too.
And you also have that running creek right there, so in the summertime you've got a little kind of a swimming hole there.
We do, we do. We have a couple swimming holes here that are right off the Brushy Creek. And,
right.
You know, another thing that is nice is the area is beautiful. The Black River is only about 10 miles away, and you also have, you know, Johnson Shuttons, Elephant Rocks, you know, the Black River. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah,
so, Gary,
yeah,
I'm thinking you and I need to make our reservations.
We're going to have to make plans. Yeah, we're going to have to make plans to get down to Brushy Creek and visit there. Robert, have you mapped the trails there through the Mark Twain?
Not nearly enough of them. I did put a smart map together with Joanne, and I think I worked with Susie last year on that, wasn't that?
Did.
Yeah, so we have a smart map, so you've got a GPS-enabled map for your cell phones. That doesn't require a cell signal. But I have not experienced the trails there yet on my own, but dying to do so. I'm kind of serious about that. We should make our reservations and do a show from Brushy Creek.
Well, I think that would be a great idea. They've got a great restaurant there, and, of course, they train some great cooks, it sounds like, as well. And I wouldn't mind trying cow cutting a little bit to see how that worked too. You've also got a lot of entertainment that you have there for your organized rides, don't you?
Yes, we do. We had this last year, we had Route 67, which has played for us a long time, and this is terrible for me to say, but we had an awesome person that came with them this year. He came last year also, and he's written a lot of country songs. He's from Nashville. Great, great entertainment. And then we usually have karaoke and stuff on Friday night and usually a bonfire with, you know, when people can bring their guitars on Thursday night. So we do have a lot. We have a lot going on. We have a challenge course competition. We also had the cattle sorting, which it's amazing how much people love that cattle sorting. When we first started a couple years ago, people were real leery, like their horse couldn't do it. But it's all about fun, and it's just amazing how many people love to do the cattle sorting. We left around 9:30, and we got back about 3. The cattle sorting started at 3, and everybody was really worried about whether they'd be back in time or not for it. So people enjoy that. They sure do.
Sounds like you've got everything there.
We do.
You're open all year round. We want to make sure everybody understands that you are open all year round, and you have these 2 annual events where you have all these activities. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those annual events so that people can plan for next year?
Well, we have a spring ride, which is always the third week in April, and we usually start on a Thursday, and we'll have an organized ride on Thursday afternoon and Thursday night, and we usually have a barbecue in the lodge on Thursday night. And then on Friday, we end up sing along around a campfire Thursday evening. And then Friday morning, everyone eats breakfast. And then we'll have a poker run, which is about a 2.5-hour trail ride, which is really fun with 5 obstacles along the way, and you pick up cards. You don't open those envelopes, though, till you get back. And then we have another ride in the afternoon. It goes from about 2 to 4 on Friday. And then at 5 o'clock, we have the challenge course competition. And then Friday evening, we have a fish fry. We have shrimp. We have chicken strips. And then that evening, we have music in the John Wayne room. And then we give awards for the top 5 poker hands. And then we give awards for the top 3 challenge course competitions. And then on Saturday, then the music, and sometimes it'll go till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, which is a lot of fun because we get to do the karaoke And we have a lot of talented people. This year we had a lot of talented people, really good singers. It was fun. And then Saturday morning we get up, and that's our big ride. Normally we'll ride for 5 to 6 hours that day, and then we come back and do the cattle sorting. And also we did the cattle sorting on Thursday too. So it's kind of the event kind of starts Thursday, and then it goes through Sunday. So it's a lot of fun. It's a really good time. Our staff, we couldn't do this all without all the people that we have working here. They really work hard getting it ready. We try to make everything look really nice. The food is phenomenal. We get tons of compliments on the food. We have a big barbecue here on Saturday evening, and everything that goes on Saturday is pretty much at the Fox Trotter Barn, besides the trail ride. So we have a lot of fun. We have a really good time, and a lot of people book year after year. We had several people. This is our 20th year of having our fall ride this last time, and I bet there were probably at least 10, if not, 15 people that have been here every year since the first year we had it. And we started, actually, our trail rides, we just started here before we even had Brushy Creek. We just started doing it for our customers that either bred their mare to our stallion, or we did some training for them, or they bought a horse. We did that for the first 5 years that way. And then after that, it just got to be so big, we started thinking, well, we probably better charge for this. So it's kind of grown from there.
Well, it seems to me that the great campgrounds today, in addition to having tremendous trails, provide some interesting things for people. Because, you've got a lot of folks that come as couples. Not necessarily both of them enjoy trail riding as much as the other. And so that really, really opens it up for people to come along and make it a family event and just to enjoy a lot of different activities during these organized rides.
It really does, Gary, and that's a really that's a good point. There's been several couples that have come down, and one might like the river, and he can go kayaking or canoeing or tubing or whatever he wants to do. Well, while his wife does get a rider horse, and then we have the facility where we do have Wi-Fi and of course the TV if they want to watch the football game or the baseball game or whatever. And where, again, normally it's the wife or the girlfriend, whatever, wanting a ride. So it makes it really nice that there's different options when you come to our area, because it's a beautiful area. It's very, very small town, so you have to kind of be prepared for that. But it's a lot of people have just said, we're not going to tell anybody because it's the best kept secret.
You do not get cell service.
We are very, very remote. There are spots that you can, get cell service, but it's not right on the property. But really, that makes it really nice.
Well, as Robert said earlier, one of the things that people want to do is to get away where they're not bothered by everything. So I know my cell phone goes off all day long with either email or phone calls, and so it's nice to get away and spend a week or a weekend where you can enjoy God's nature and kind of connect with people and enjoy the different activities that are there. So, Joanne, give us your website.
It's www.brushycreeklodgeandresort.com.
Okay. And you can go to equestrianlegacy.net, and you can connect directly to their website from there as well. And, Robert, you and I are going to have to just make plans to get to Missouri and visit Brushy Creek next year.
I think so. Well, after hearing all about the food, I'm ready to go.
We have excellent food.
One
thing I've learned about Robert is he does like to eat. So whether he's out on the trail in the backcountry or if he's at a campground, he likes good food.
Well, we would love to have you both. We'd love for you to come down.
We'd love to do that. Tina May, anything that you wanted to ask before we say bye to Joanne.
Oh, I think we covered it. I just wanted to tell people that I have been at this facility. The people are absolutely awesome. They are very happy that you're there. They're very accommodating to you. I've been to her organized rides. They have got it to a T. They know how to put it together. There's no question of what's going on. They have a lot of fun there. And even when you go when it's not an organized ride, they have a lot. They've got the obstacle course. Beautiful setting. I love the way they kind of have these set and kind of spread apart in little groups and things like that. It's a wonderful facility, and I highly recommend people to come. The trails are beautiful, things to see, just gorgeous, gorgeous place to go to.
Well, and we look forward to doing that. You do have a great staff. Susie has been very helpful when we've talked in the past, and I know she has for Robert, too. And, Robert,
yeah,
anything you want to say to Robert, anything you want
well,
to say
yeah,
to Joanne?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful place, but I'm all about the trails. You know me, Joanne. So
right, right.
What are the trails like? How in shape does my beast have to be?
Well, they can be a little tough. I will say that we are in the Eastern Ozarks, so it is very rocky. You definitely need shoes. There are some, it's a lot of trail riding. There is some road riding also. But it's a lot of up and down. It's a lot of hills, but it's beautiful.
It's
a lot of different
glorious
terrain. Yeah, you're gonna cross some, you know, you cross some creeks, you cross water. You'll have some switchbacks. Each trail is a little bit different. Some will be a little bit have more dirt on them than rock. Right when you climb, though, just about all the hills around here, you're gonna have to do some climbing. But once you get on top, then it kind of levels out. But just a lot of different terrain. It's different scenery. A lot of different beautiful trees here in Missouri. In the spring, you get the redbud and the dogwood and stuff like that. You're going to see a lot of, you know, you'll see deer. You'll see turkey.
It
sounds
great.
We have a lot of
great
that here, too.
I'm actually looking at your website now, and I'm going on a virtual trip with all the pictures on your website. They're glorious.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's a great facility, great people. Joanne is a jewel, and a great staff there as well. So visit Brushy Creek Lodge and Resort in Black, Missouri, and you will make that a place you'll want to go back to time and time again. So, Joanne, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, thank you, Gary, and thank you very much for asking me.
Well, look it's forward to talking.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. You're so easy to talk with.
Well, thanks so much. You're fun to talk with, too. So look forward to talking with you again soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye, Tina.
All right.
Bye,
goodbye.
Robert. Bye.
All right, thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Robert, this has been a fun show. And Tina May, this has been a fun show. And I've learned a lot today.
As did I. Thanks so much for the opportunity. It's great to talk with everyone.
Well, look forward to having you back every second Tuesday of the month on Saddle Up America. And we don't want to miss having people find your website as well, so give us that address.
www.trailmeister.com, the largest horse trail and camp directory in North America.
Largest and the best. And Robert is just a super, super guy, and we look forward to having him every second Tuesday on Saddle Up America. And you can also get to his website from ours, so easy to find him. Great information that he has there, and just a ton of fun to have. And we may have to talk about some campfire recipes next time you're on. You're a big food lover.
I'm a big food lover, but sometimes that means a can of cold sardines and an apple too.
I could go for the apple. I don't know about the sardines, but anyway, we look forward to talking to you pretty soon, Robert. Thanks for being
here.
All
right, take care, Gary. Take care, Tina May.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so this has been fun, Tina May. A lot of good information, great folks that we have on the show every Tuesday at noon Central Standard Time. And we want to mention again our Legacy Club. It's free. It's our thank you to our listeners and to our friends, and you can enroll in the Legacy Club at equestrianlegacy.net. This month we have a drawing that we're going to be doing for a special gift pack from Showtime Trailers, so you still have a couple of weeks left to become a member and be eligible for the drawing from Showtime Trailers. And then, of course, we have a year-end drawing from Hydra Horse, and you can visit their website from ours, a great revolutionary two-horse watering system that's portable for your trailer. Just a super, super thing. And I think you said that saved you your horses and a little hauling on some of your recent rides.
Oh, it has saved me a lot. Not only that, but, you know, this ride that we did at the Double J in Michigan for the Lope for Hope was out in a field, as was the one in Tennessee. And so there was no water close. And I just love just being able to back up some panels to my trailer, and I took that inside water and attached it to the outside, and all I had to do was hit a button and fill up their water, and there was no carrying buckets or looking for water or anything. It was very nice.
Okay.
Very convenient.
Well,
I'm getting spoiled with it.
Yeah. Well, at 5'2", you don't need to be carrying too many water buckets around, so it's a great system, and you can visit their website from ours. HydraHorse.com is their website. So a great informational video we have on our website about the system, so check that out. And, again, you can enroll in the Legacy Club at EquestrianLegacy.net. And Tina May, we've got a good show lined up for next week. Who's joining us?
Yes, we do. Next week we talk with Susanna Gibson, founder and publisher of the Trailblazer magazine. Then we travel to Hodges, Alabama, and talk with Tina Lawler at Rockbridge Canyon Equestrian Park.
All right, so that's going to be a fun show next Tuesday. Thursday of this week on the Campfire Cafe. I can't say it. Can you say that for me?
Campfire Cafe on Thursdays at noon Central Time.
Thank you very much. We're going to have the multi-award-winning singer-songwriter Junie Fisher that's joining us this Thursday, and we'll be talking about cutting horses, and then we're going to talk with a couple of fearless ladies that have had quite a journey. So a good show that we have coming up on Thursday at noon Central on the Campfire Cafe. And then we're just tickled to have Belinda Gale join us in our family. And last Sunday was her first show. It's Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And we had a fun show with Belinda hosting that with her special guest R.W. Hampton. And this Sunday we have the super sweet and talented Gene Prescott that will be joining Belinda for that show. So that's Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, and that's on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time as well. So our family continues to grow. We continue to bring programs that we hope you'll enjoy and find interesting. And you can check our website, equestrianlegacy.net, for more information. And we have some great information on the host for our shows. So you might find out some things about Belinda and Tina May that you didn't know. And I guess I'm going to have to put Britch's profile up too. Britch's is our public relations person, and that's my lovely Australian Shepherd. So maybe I need to get some information about Britch's on there. She's a sweetheart. But anyway, well, listen, thanks so much for joining us today on Equestrian Legacy Radio, Saddle Up America. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Saddle Up America. Thanks for listening, and we'll close the show today with Lacey J. Dalton's The Last Wild Place.
Well, you come from California, you come from Kansas, too. Some come down from Canada or maybe Timbuktu. Well, some of you have money, more of you have none. But you're all looking for something, every mother's son. Say you're feeling burned heart in the last wild place. Well, some of us are scared to live, some are scared to die. Some of us will tell the truth and more of us will lie. Well, some are born to fool around, some love only one. Some hearts have been broke so bad they cannot trust no one. And you say you're feeling burned out, use a little space. Welcome home, you restless heart, to the last wild place. Feel that wind that's softly blowing, the sun that's smiling on your face, that honey wine. It's always flowing here in the last wild place. Here in the last wild place, there are those who live for power and those who live for fame, those who love the gold too much do anything for gain. For the brave among us fight to fight, the coward always runs. Every soul has secrets, boys, every single one. Hey, say you're feeling burned out, you could use a little space. It's right there in your restless heart, in the last wild place. We're so glad to see you, cousin. Your hair down, it's no disgrace. Don't look back, it don't mean nothing here in the last wild place. Hey, we're so glad to see you dancing. Come on, laugh, it's no disgrace. Don't look back, it don't mean nothing here in the last wild. Here in the last one, here in the last.